So I want to now transition to our sermon. I want to stop and pray because we're going to talk about baptism. And we do this every so often. So every time we have a baptism, we don't talk about baptism this much. But I want to make sure that we have a general understanding together as to what it means to be baptized and why we come to be baptized as adults. Many of you were baptized as children in the faith of your family, but we're talking about believers' baptism. And so I want to pray and just ask God to lead us, remind us of our own baptism if we have been baptized, refreshen us, the excitement of that, making a public declaration of our faith and walking together in obedience as disciples. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives and everything that you will do in this coming new year. We want to be open to you. We want to understand more of how to walk with you and talk with you and live our lives with you as the center. And so we thank you for even this topic this morning of baptism, because it's one of the ways in which we sort of center ourselves on Jesus. We get things in alignment with him. And so help us to understand the importance of it, as well as to be refreshed in it. If we were baptized 50 years ago, just refresh us again this morning and remind us of our great love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's kind of two different baptisms that the New Testament talks about. One is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the other is baptism by water. Don't be confused. This is baptism by water, just in case you didn't know. Both are mentioned together often, especially in the book of Acts. And so I want you to hear a little bit about what Jesus taught, but also what happened after the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. And the apostle Peter is one of the preachers on that day. He speaks up and he speaks to the crowd of people who were gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And he says this in Acts 2:38, it says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." See how they're together, the baptism in water and the baptism of the Spirit. They kind of are preached together that way. It's not always that way, but on that particular day, he preached them together. Once you have become a believer in Jesus, I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit increases in your life. Your understanding of how to walk with him and talk with him and be with him in the Spirit on a daily basis increases. And so we're praying that for Stephanie and Stephen today as they get ready to come and share their testimony of why they come to be baptized. So the question is, why do we want to be baptized? Well, we're baptized so that we can follow, first of all, Christ's example. In the Gospel of Matthew, the very beginning of that gospel, when we hear about Jesus coming sort of into his public ministry, Jesus himself was baptized. Interesting, right? Because sometimes we think, well, baptism is just about the forgiveness of sins. Well, it isn't. In this case, the Holy Spirit then came and descended on him. It says, like a dove from heaven. The Holy Spirit came and sort of inspired him and filled him up for the ministry he was about to enter. But Jesus was baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. I'll read it for you. It says, "Then Jesus came to Galilee, to John at the Jordan, to be baptized by him," by John. "But John tried to stop him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you have come to me.' Jesus answered him, 'Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness.' So then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So God spoke over that. That act of obedience, his Son, Jesus, who we also know as God, did this act and received this blessing from the Father. just for that. He hadn't done any miracles yet. He hadn't taught any sermons, anything like that. He came and he was baptized. So we want to follow in that example. You can receive the blessing of the Father when you walk in this example. And so we identify ourselves as believers when we identify with Christ's death. We know that. We talk about that all the time, just as we did just in communion. His death, his blood was shed on our behalf, but also his resurrection. So if you could turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans is sort of where we'll land most of the time in the message here in these few minutes that we'll talk about this. Because there's this great passage in Romans chapter 6. It's on page 1001 if you want to use the Bible that's provided there for you. But I want us to sort of delve into a little more of the depth of what it means to be baptized. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 6. I'll just start in verse 1. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? There's a key right there. Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So when we were baptized into Christ, in the name of Christ, we're baptized into his death. Then it says in verse 4, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. We may walk in the newness of life. Something takes place in our baptism on a spiritual level, right? We don't necessarily see it. We feel like the same person maybe before and afterwards, but something major happens. When we identify ourselves with Christ's death and his resurrection, we begin to walk in the newness of life, the life that Jesus came to give us. And so this is an exciting moment in our lives. If you have indeed been baptized, or if you're going to be baptized here in a few minutes, the ability to walk in the newness of life means you can leave the old life behind and walk in a new way. There used to be a song, I got a new way to walk, walk, walk. I got a new way to walk. Does anyone know it? Walk, walk. Nobody knows, only me. All right, Mark, okay, you're the same age as I am. That's fine. It's probably from like the Muppets or something. Who knows? But it's a new way to walk because we're walking with Jesus, inspired by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And this is what baptism opens up for us. And it's exciting for us to realize that and remember that so that we don't fall into our old patterns and walk the old way. We're walking in a new way with Jesus. So when you're baptized, you are, in a sense, symbolizing your salvation. You're not being saved by baptism, because we're saved by faith alone. But you're symbolizing your salvation. Baptism by immersion, which is how we practice it. There is baptism by sprinkling and other means. But baptism by immersion, going right down into the water, closely lines up with this passage because it graphically represents dying with Christ. So imagine the water not being water, but being a grave. So dying with Christ and then being raised up from the dead with Christ when you come up out of the water. That's really the symbolism that's in place. And that's what spiritually has taken place when you were saved. Being buried when we were under the water and then rising up from the dead when we come out of the water is a picture. So God is having us sort of preach a sermon with using an object lesson, a picture. The sermon is for these two individuals here today and for you who have also been baptized, that you died to your old self. When Christ went to the cross, he took your sin with him. And all of that has been done away with, has been removed from you spiritually, right? Do you sometimes still fall into sin? Yes, right? You're not sinless. You're not perfect yet. But you are in the process of being made more and more like Jesus and walking in the freedom that he has. The reason we use immersion, baptism, going under the water, is that the Greek word for baptism actually means to dip or immerse or overwhelm something in the water, right? So it's a little hard to do that with a sprinkle or just a pour, right? I'm not saying we do everything right. I'm just saying as we look at the Greek, what it says is immerse or overwhelm. So we're going to immerse Stephanie and Stephen and overwhelm them with the water in their baptism to just be as close to scripture as we can be. Because water baptism is a God-given object lesson of what takes place spiritually and internally. Because what you're saying is, I died with Jesus when he died. I was buried with him when he was buried. And now I'm raised with Christ because he's been risen again. And I have a brand new life to walk out, to live out with Jesus. It's my intention to live my life under his leadership, with his guidance as a good shepherd, and for his glory from this point on. And I won't do it perfectly, and none of us do it perfectly, but we're going to strive towards that. We're going to continue to ask God to help us in that. So another reason that we're baptized is that it obeys Christ's command. Christ actually, as an example, was baptized, but then he also commanded his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll hear me say that same thing when we're in the water. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think the Trinity needs to be present in our minds and in our hearts. And he commanded his disciples to go and to do this. So this pattern was carried on, like I said earlier, throughout the whole book of Acts. In Acts 2:41, I'm just going to read four verses here, about baptism in the book of Acts. But it gives us a picture, a clear picture of what was taking place. So Peter preached, as I said earlier, he preached about it in Acts 2:41. Then those who gladly received his word about Jesus, about the gospel, those people were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. So it was a big, major baptism. In Acts chapter 8, a little further on, verse 12, but when they believed Philip was another apostle preaching the gospel, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts 8:35-37. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. You have to read that story. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said to him, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? Then Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then lastly, in Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And so he then commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So all throughout the book of Acts, as Christianity spread throughout the region, they were continuing this practice of believing in Jesus Christ, receiving his Holy Spirit, and walking through the waters of baptism. And so as believers, even today, 2,000-something years later, we're still trying to do the same thing. So another reason we do it publicly instead of privately is that we're baptized in public or in this public setting to identify ourselves as Christ followers. Because there might be some people here this morning who are not Christ followers yet. Maybe they're curious about Jesus since they come to church to learn some things, to see if it's for them, to see if they understand who Jesus is. So not everyone here might be Christ follower, but also it helps you with your family and your friends and those closest to you to realize that, you know, I'm identifying myself as a Christian, as a believer, as a member of the body of Christ. When we're baptized, we're showing that we're uniting ourselves to Christ. It's like we're joining his team. Like, whose team do you want to be on? I want to be on Jesus's team. All right, you go over that side of the room. Right? You choose it. You're choosing to be on Jesus' team and to be a part of his church as well. Galatians 3, Paul writes, "For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." It's like you put on his uniform. You've been clothed with Christ. "There is no longer any Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus." What it means is the things that separate us, the things that make us different, this brings us together and makes us the same. We are all one in Christ as believers in Jesus. There's not a hierarchy. There's not some people who are better than others in God's eyes. We're all equal in his eyes. And when we are brought into his family, we're brought in as children of God together through our faith in Jesus. So baptism is important because it's your personal identification with the greatest act in human history, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. You're saying, "I believe that, and I want to identify with that." Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, "For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The reason why we state that when we talk about baptism is because it could be a misunderstanding that somehow getting yourself up out of your seat and coming up here and going through that water saves you. It could never save you. Only Jesus on the cross, who died in your place, could save you. So our works, the things that we could do, don't bring salvation. Our faith brings salvation. As we put our faith in him, we trust in him, we trust in the gospel story as presented to us in God's word, then we are saved. Then we act on that. We live that out as we walk through the waters of baptism. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 is another verse that helps to illustrate what's taken place. When you put your faith in Christ, you come into relationship with him through faith. And it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." Now, like I said before, you kind of look like the same person. Once you get your hair dried and you get some dry clothes on, you look in the mirror and say, "Well, I look the same on the outside." But on the inside, where it really counts, you're a new creation in Christ. When you're saved by faith in Jesus, you're saved. You're different. You're new. You're born again, Jesus called it. You're born again of the Spirit. And because you're born again into a new life, you need to learn how to live that new life, right? And he gives us the Spirit of God and the family of God to help us to live that new life, to help us to understand what that means. Another reason that we're baptized is so that we can grow in our relationship with Christ, so that we keep moving. We don't get sort of stuck or stagnant, but that we realize, like, oh, there's more to being a disciple. It's not just believing something in my head. It's actually living it out through my life. So we're baptized to grow in our relationship with Christ. We can see this in Romans 6:5. "If you have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Now, that phrase there, "united with him," literally means to grow along with when planted together. So if you can see this picture here, we love babies, no worries. You see this picture here on the slide, there behind you? That's two trees that have kind of grown up alongside each other. So that image is what's in this Greek word here, or these Greek words, that say to be united with him. To be united with him isn't like one time and then you're done. And this is what has hurt Christianity in America, I think. Many times people have come to the altar, prayed a prayer, and then walked away the same. They never learned to be a disciple. They never got up in the morning and said, "Good morning, Jesus. What are we doing today?" Like they just thought it was an event, maybe at a camp or at a campfire or at a crusade or something. And they didn't grow up into Christ. Like these two trees almost look like one tree, but that's actually two separate trees. It's like being planted with Christ. And now day by day, as you mature, as you grow, you have the strength of Christ to lean into, the wisdom of Christ to learn, the behaviors that Christ wants to develop in you and the things that he wants to remove from you, but he's there every day, all the time. I will never leave you or forsake you. And that is the joy of being free from sin, the bondage of sin, slavery to sin, and now becoming a servant of God, willingly desiring to serve him and live with him in a conscious way, inside and out. And lastly, and I'm going to ask the people who are going to help with baptism to come forward, we are baptized to show our freedom in Christ. So take a look at Romans 6:6-7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So something takes place on a spiritual level where sin may have held you tightly and you felt like you could only sin. You had no choice but to sin in so many situations. You're identifying yourself with Christ in his death and then resurrection frees you from that. You're no longer a slave to sin. Can you still sin? Yes, you can, because he does not take away your free will. But do you have to sin? Are you a slave to that sin? No, you're not. And the freedom of Christ is something you have to grow up into to understand how to walk free from that, how to walk free from that bondage. So we're no longer slaves to sin. The phrase done away with in that verse, done away with literally means rendered powerless. Sin is powerless in the presence of Jesus. And because now Jesus lives in you, sin is powerless. Like I said, you will, on occasion, give in to that, but you are not a slave to it any longer. So we celebrate that. The whole goal of Christ coming was to free us from sin. And Jesus said in 1 John, if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. So our baptism is like a celebration of our freedom to make a choice that I'm no longer a slave to sin. I want to be a servant of God. I want to walk with him and talk with him and serve him and love him for the rest of my days and into eternity. And so we're going to invite the two baptismal candidates, we'll call them candidates here, to come and sit up here maybe in the front row. Elder Aaron is going to come and handle the microphone. I'm going to jump in the pool, and we'll get on with this.
So we've talked about birthday parties a few times today. I've heard that statement, and this is a birthday party. We have physical birth, and I can remember 40, 50 years ago, we would just have one party. Whoever was invited was coming to that one party. But a lot of times now, kids will have a family party, and then they'll have a kids' party. Or a friend's party. Jesus said about Judas Iscariot, it would have been better for him if he had not even been born, because he didn't trust Jesus. So when we're born again, it's because the Father came and pulled us to Jesus so that we can be born again. The Bible says, unless anyone's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we have a spiritual birth when we trust Jesus. So let's get back to the birthday party. When we choose Jesus, we have a party in heaven with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it also says all the angels rejoice when even one person repents and comes to Jesus. Here today, the baptism, it's public. So you have a friends and family party here today, Stephen and Stephanie. Stephen, I think you're coming first. Would you like to come up here and tell your friends and your family why it is you choose to be baptized?
Good morning. So my name's Stephen. I've been a Christian for not too long, about a couple of years now, but I never really took it seriously until about April. Bit of a Job season where I thought I had everything figured out. I thought I had a specific plan, a specific purpose, and then out of the blue, it's all kind of wiped from you. But instead of turning to him, I kind of just turned away from everything and everybody, being like, I don't need anybody. I'm just going to, you know, just. And that didn't go so well. So then my good buddy, where'd he go? There he is. Aiden Pappas, grew up with him. He hit me up, asked me how I was doing. I told him what happened. He started bringing me to his Bible studies on Thursdays. And through that and all the great services on Sundays, I started actually pursuing the Lord, trying to understand why I'm here, who I really am, that my past doesn't really define who I am, my past mistakes. I saw this one bit today and I was like, ooh, I'm going to say that. where the enemy is going to try and remind you of your past so he can distract himself from his future, because that's where his hell is going to be when he loses. And I read this scripture, I believe it's Isaiah 43, do not cling to the events of the past or what has been done. Focus on the new thing that the Lord's doing for you. He's going to lead us through our personal wilderness, and we're going to find a stream of water. And that's my goal today, to be born again through Christ. And I wrote things down, and I didn't even look at it. That's crazy. Anyway. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel 2:32. And where did it go? There it is. I need to, hopefully after today, I can continue to remind myself my past mistakes do not define who I am. And going forward, what was it? I don't know how you do this every Sunday, Tom. This is crazy. I'm like, this is nothing. I get up here, I'm like, oh my. Anyway. I just want to close this off by saying thank you all for your hospitality. Thank you, Aiden, for all your great services. And God is good. Amen.
Stephen Schoenfeld will now be symbolically crucifying his old man to the cross. If anybody else is taking pictures, if you come over here to the left side, you have a better view of the resurrection coming out of the pool.
Because of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I'd now like to welcome Stephanie Mollett Ryan. Stephanie.
Good morning, church. I was baptized as an infant, raised in the Catholic Church. I did all the right things. I went to Catholic Church. I went to church on Sunday. But I wasn't really sure about a lot of things about religion. I didn't understand things. There were questions that I had. I didn't feel like I could ask. It sort of felt like a routine, and it didn't feel intimate for me. I talked to God. Wasn't sure if he was listening, but I talked to him anyway. But as I became an adult, I fell away from that. I think a lot of us sort of do when we don't have our parents dragging us to church every week. We just forget to go. Or we get busy, we fall away from having an intimate relationship with God, and that's what happened to me. I was only talking to him when I wanted something, when I wanted to pray for something, when things were bad. It was never, things are awesome, thank you so much. It was always, oh, I'm in trouble, so if you're up there, can I have a hand here? But it didn't feel right. I was making poor choices. And I had a lot of guilt about the way I was living my life. I was living for myself, and I was making excuses for the poor choices I was making. I was really good at making a reason why I was doing something that I knew was stupid. And if there was a commitment out there to be broken, I broke it. And after a while, I was like, I am a mess. And I didn't accept myself. And I didn't think that anybody else would either. Not a friend, not a family member. You just feel like you are beyond repair. And over time, I knew something was missing. And on paper, everything seemed right. I have a wonderful marriage to the best guy in the world. I have a home. I have a career that I love. Something was still missing. And God called to me. I don't know how to explain it. It's very personal. It's very intimate, but you know, and there's no arguing it. He reaches out to you and he knows when you're ready. He knows when you're ready to hear from him. And he called to me, and I felt this overwhelming urge to go back to church. And Holden Chapel happens to be in our backyard. It has been for 2 years. And for whatever reason, we weren't ready to hear it, but I was ready to hear it then. And so we started coming here, and we found family here, and we feel welcome, and we love it here. And my relationship with God, my intimate relationship with God, is made new. I talk to him all the time, not just when I need something or when things are broken or when I feel like I screwed up. I talk to him all the time, and just to thank him or just to check in and say hi, and things are going great, and thank you for the heat in my house and the roof over our head and the simple things. And my feelings of being sad and unloved and unworthy and like a failure are no more. I remember standing in here and feeling the realization that Jesus loves me anyway. I am a mess, and that's okay. He loves me anyway. I have been forgiven for that. So I am here to recommit to my walk with God, knowing that I don't have to carry the weight of those sins anymore. I don't have to be ashamed of that. I can be a human being, and I got a clean slate now, and I'm not going to get it right all the time, but I'm going to walk with God with a good conscience and with a clear head. I know I'm not always going to get it right, but I think the measure of what's changed in our head and in our hearts is how we deal with traffic, right? Like if someone pulls out in front of us or does something stupid, whatever comes out of our mouth at that time, would we say that to that person if we were standing right next to them? So I know that God knows what's in my heart, and I try to start in my car. But anyway, I'm here to recommit to my walk with God, and thank you all for witnessing that.
Stephanie, because of your faith in Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.